The Life of General Belisarius, The Plot to Kill Justinian and Belisarius. In the First Italian War, a precipitated recall had hindered Belisarius from completing and securing his triumphs. In the Second War, he had been denied any effective methods of upholding his ancient reputation. Meanwhile, at Constantinople, he had suffered the most unjust and ignominious treatment, yet in circumstances where resistance would have been easy and perhaps safe, the loyalty of Belisarius always patiently submitted. This well-known loyalty was now destined to expose him to the first brunt of a treasonable enterprise directed against the person and the empire of Justinian. For on the same principles that the attack of a rampart should be preceded by the overthrow of its bulwarks, the conspirators had resolved to aim their earliest blow at Belisarius as the firmest pillar of the throne. And so we got to go back in time for this one. There was a marriage with a woman named Projecta, who was the emperor's niece. It had been obtained for the patrician Ariobindus, the important governor of Africa. In the eyes of his sovereign, this allegiance might supply the want of military skill and even personal courage, but the new exarch found it of little avail in gaining the esteem or commanding the obedience of his subjects. His weakness was speedily discovered and speedily abused. An artful officer named Gonthar had originally served in the guards of Solomon, another general, discerned with a keen glance of ambition an opportunity so favorable to a rebel. By his cabals, the Moors were excited to hostility and the Byzantine troops to mutiny. A conflict arose on the very streets of Carthage in 546 AD. And though a greater number of faithful adherents still supported the lieutenant of the emperor, they were disheartened and defeated by his cowardly flight. Ariobindus had escaped to the sanctuary of a convent in Carthage, which Solomon had lately built and surrounded with strong walls, for the twofold purpose of monastic seclusion, or perhaps military strength. The bishop of Carthage was dispatched by the victorious Gonthar to draw his rival from the sacred retreat, under the most solemn promises of safety, and the trembling Ariobindus returned to the palace, clad in the habit of a slave, stretching forth his hands, the Gospels, and an infant newly baptized. Yet neither of these religious restraints nor his abject entreaties for life could disarm the vengeance of the new tyrant. He was welcomed with smiling courtesy and specious promises, and at supper the highest place was assigned to him. But at the close of the entertainment, he was murdered. Thus Gonthar became, for a while, the sovereign of Africa. And hoping to allay the indignation of the emperor, he drew Projecta from captivity, allotted to her an apartment in the palace, and openly aspired to have her married. But the daring usurper did not enjoy the fruits of his treason beyond 30 days. Among the officers who had attended Ariobindus at his departure from Constantinople was Artaban, an Armenian of the noble race of the Alcides, who had lately headed an insurrection of his countrymen against the troops of Justinian, and had been transfixed with his lance their general, Cynthus, a colleague of Belisarius in his first military expedition. His subsequent desertion to the Byzantines, of which the motive is not explained, was rewarded with an appointment in the Byzantine army, and under his direction, a conspiracy was now formed against the African tyrant. The unguarded hour of a banquet was fixed upon as the fittest time for assassination, and Artaceres, one of the followers of the Armenian prince, was chosen to strike the first blow. Quote, "If my attempt should fail," this intrepid soldier told his chief, "kill me on the spot with your own sword, to turn aside all suspicion from yourself, and lest the rack should wring from me the names of my accomplices," end of quote. An enterprise undertaken with such heroic determination could hardly prove otherwise than successful. Gonthar was slain, and Carthage once more acknowledged the sway of Justinian, who showed his gratitude by naming Artaban exarch of the province he had just saved. But this recompense, however ample, did not satisfy his aspiration. He had become enamored with the widow of Ariobindus, who, on her part, was not unmindful of the debt due to her deliverer, nor did she set out for Constantinople until she had bound herself to him by a solemn promise of marriage. After her departure, Africa appeared worrisome and tasteless to her lover, who solicited his recall from Justinian and hastened to the capital. where it is probable he might have succeeded in his wishes had not an unforeseen hindrance interposed. In his early youth he had contracted a marriage which was afterwards dissolved, according to some on legal grounds established at that age. As long as Artaban continued poor and unfortunate, his wife had cheerfully admitted the legality of the divorce. But his rise to wealth, prosperity, and power suddenly awakened her pious scruples and conjugal affection. Quitting her retreat for Constantinople, she threw herself at the feet of the empress and implored her intercession for restoring her beloved and rightful husband. The compassion of Theodora was excited. Her devotion was alarmed. She compelled the unwilling Artaban to take back against his former spouse, and Projecta became the bride of another suitor. It is true that soon afterwards the death of the empress left Artaban at liberty to obtain a second divorce, but his mind still brooded deeply over his disappointed passion and was intent of some project of revenge, and his resentment was inflamed by the solicitations of his kinsman Arsapes, lately exasperated against Justinian by detected treachery and ignominious punishment in 548 AD. We have resolved between these two Armenians to assassinate the emperor and to raise to the throne his nephew Germanus, whose valor and virtue had greatly endeared him to the people. They well knew, however, the inflexibility of Belisarius, now on his return from Italy, and dreaded lest, instead of patiently acquiescing in the projected usurpation, he should, on first intelligence, collect an army in Thrace and lead it to punish the conspirators. They therefore considered it more prudent to defer the execution of Justinian until the arrival of the hero at Constantinople, when a single thrust of a dagger might free them from all future apprehension of his loyalty. One thing about being a general, you can see your enemy on the battlefield and make adjustments. Cabals behind your back are tougher. The sources for this include The Wars of Justinian by Procopius, Short History of Byzantium by Norwich, Byzantine Art of War by Decker, Byzantine Armies 324 to 1453 by Turnbull, and The Life of Belisarius by Mahone. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.